Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Training Show with your host, Skip LaCour. Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Training Show is a weekly talk radio program that discusses any of the challenges that you face as you strive to create the best body you possibly can and outlines solutions. This is your opportunity to talk with Skip about what's most important to you in your training efforts, share your thoughts and opinions in an open forum, and learn from the experiences of other passionate lifters just like you at the same time. Skip LaCour is a six-time national champion and whose leadership and coaching continues to guide bodybuilders around the globe. Here is the host of this bodybuilding and training show, Skip LaCour.
If you could ask me one question, when answered, will launch you to a new level of growth and a better experience in the gym or a better understanding of the nutrition process, what would that question be? Think about that right now. I want you to call in. Dial 347-326-9145. Again, that number is 347-326-9145. All it takes is one new strategy, one new idea, one new distinction, or one new way of looking at the same old challenge that you're having when it comes to your bodybuilding and training efforts. That can launch you to a new level of physical and mental growth. Welcome to this talk radio show. I am Skip LaCour. So where are you right now with your bodybuilding and training efforts? And what is the next level for you as you strive to create that body that you really want? No matter how well you're doing, there's always that next level. And knowing how to get that next level can make the whole experience much more enjoyable. You don't want to be winning the game, having a great physique, nice training habits, doing everything right, but because of the anxiety or angst that you might have or the uncertainty that you might have, might be ruining the process for you. And we can talk about that. Maybe give you some affirmation, some validation that you're doing everything right in the gym. Call the show. The number is 347-326-9145. I'm going to talk about mental habits today as we get into the show. I also want to take your call, so call in 347-326-9145 to call in the show today. I have a free gift for you. It's a $24.99 value. It's my ebook on training and weight training and cardiovascular training. It's called Skip LaCour's Packing on Muscle Max OT Style. It's a 154-page ebook. Retail price for $24.99. It's been sold in over 52 countries around the world, and it's yours for free, just for calling in, just for checking in. Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Training Talk Radio Show is brought to you by AST Sports Science Sports Nutrition Products. You can visit their website at www.ast-ss.com. That's www.ast-ss.com. AST Sports Science, it's the inventor of the Max OT training system, Max OT. Maximum overload training. That's the most effective and most efficient training method to build rock hard, solid muscle, lose some body fat, and do it in the shortest period of time. You got other things going on, just get in and out of there in the gym, but use the gym effectively and efficiently. So you can sign up for a free online course of the Max OT course by going to the AST website, www.ast-ss.com. Go into the lower right-hand corner. Look at the Max OT training logo. Click that. Sign up for a username and password, and you can get access to that extensive course. Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Training Talk Radio Show is also brought to you by Bodybuilding.com, health and fitness, nutrition, nutritional supplements, and there's just tons of information there for you to enhance your bodybuilding and training efforts. Live the healthy and fit lifestyle and take care of yourself. So visit the bodybuilding.com website. This show is also brought to you by Powerade Zero. Powerade Zero is a great tasting sports drink with electrolytes, B vitamins, and zero calories. Powerade Zero replaces lost fluids without replacing the calories you've just burnt while working out in the gym. It comes in three great tasting flavors, strawberry grape and a mixed berry, and you can get it at your local grocery stores. Finally, a zero calorie sports drink. Powerade Zero, zero calories, zero limits. And also, I have another talk show. It's the Manformation Talk Radio Show. You can learn more about it by going to the Manformation website at www.manformation.com. It's alpha male leadership qualities that can help transform you into the man who you really want to be. And going along with your health and fitness, work on your attitude, work on your confidence, work on your leadership skills. It's the perfect match with everything that you're doing in the gym. Sign up for the free weekly e-newsletter that's sent to you right to your email. And visit the Manformation message board. It's a portal of information for that deals with men's issues, and it's for men just like you striving to take your lives to the next level, get a bit better understanding, dealing with people, getting what you want. So visit the Manformation website at www.manformation.com, Manformation. So do you have a question? Do you have a comment? Call the show right now, 347-326-9145, 347-326-9145, and get your free $24.99 ebook, Skip LaCour's Packing On Muscle Max OT Style. I'm also taking applications for free coaching. I do coaching all around the world. I take advantage of phone lines. Now that coaching becomes a lot easier process, now you can cut some costs. Most people have unlimited minutes on their cell phones. You can call all over the nation with Skype, Yahoo phone service. Those phone calls are free. It makes it a lot easier to connect with people all over the world. And I do a lot of coaching over the internet. Charge $300 an hour. I started off doing $100 an hour back in the day, and then I would do more. With my time being so limited, I couldn't take so many. So it was just for the most dedicated people who were striving to take their bodies, get an understanding, the most enthusiastic, the most committed. Because if I'm going to spend my time talking to you on the phone, going through the process, I want you to succeed. And my job becomes a lot easier the more committed you are. So over time, my consultation fees went up to $300 an hour. And I would get quite a few people doing that. And it makes it a lot easier for me. So now that I'm committing myself to this radio show every week, I thought, well, what's the best thing I could do? Maybe make this service available to people who maybe not have those type of resources. And so from time to time, what I will do, depending on the applications, is I'm going to, I want you to send me an email at skip@skiplacour.com, skip@skiplacour.com if you're interested in a free one-hour phone consultation. And what I'm going to do on this radio show every week is I'm going to talk directly to you. I'm going to have you prepared. I want you to really go through a process of thinking about what it is you want. And through the entire hour, I'm going to take you through the process, giving you my 18 years plus experience and knowledge, dedication, passion to bodybuilding and training. So the training, the nutrition aspects, we can get those things all cleared up for you, give you some certainty and confidence, kind of go through everything that you do. Also use my 25 years in the motivation, personal development, self-empowerment field to help add an important development to everything that you do. And we'll do that in a one-hour phone consultation right here on the phone line. Everyone else can hear what you're going through, because what you'll find out is that most of our challenges are the same. And as I'm helping you, I will help everyone who listens to the show live or listens to from a downloaded version or on their archived Apple iTunes library. So it's a great way to help a lot of people at the same time while I'm helping you. Again, the hour is dedicated to you, and I'll open up the questions. So as I'm answering questions for you, the strategies that we outline will make it a lot easier for the people in the audience to connect with. So if you are interested in getting a free $300 hour phone consultation directly at you here on this Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding Training Talk Radio Show, I want you to send me an email at skip@skiplacour.com. And for those of you who are listening, those phone consultations, that one-on-one help, even though I am not directing at you, it'll be something exciting, very interesting for you to hear the process that I take them through, because you yourself will benefit by the experiences of others. So that's something that I want to add a dimension to this talk radio show. So send your applications to skip@skiplacour.com. We have a caller on the line. The caller is in the 908 area code. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Skip. Hey, it's Dean.
Dean, how are you, sir?
I'm fine. Yeah, I spoke with you last week, and you dedicated a whole hour to me. So thank you very much for that.
Awesome. Actually, it was I got a lot of emails, Dean. That process that I took you through was quite helpful to a lot of other people. And so it was working with you that gave me that idea to continue that on. So you went through your week. What we did is we outlined your daily disciplines, and I think we only started about with six or seven of them, not to get you overwhelmed with 100 things.
I'm sorry, excuse me?
So we only started out with you about six or seven disciplines, so that we didn't try to make it too complicated, but we wanted to set some standards. And so tell me how your first week went with those standards.
Okay, it was very clear where my strengths and weaknesses lie. We had seven standards, and I met
three. Why don't you review those for everyone, what we outline you to do every single day?
Okay.
Do you have those in front of you?
I do. Here we go. And this is the order that they're in. Number one, wake up at 6 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Number two, review daily goals, which were written the night before.
Right.
Number three, eat six meals a day.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, eat at specific times, and I got a 15-minute window.
Okay.
Number five, drink 3 liters of water. Number six, work out on time. And number seven
would
be... What
time was that again, Dean? Was that always at the same time?
Yeah, that was at 8 p.m. at night.
Okay.
I train 8 p.m. 2 days a week during the weekday.
Oh.
And then on the weekends, I train like about 11 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, gotcha.
We're gonna
make that at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
All right, so we want to get specific. Again, the more specific, the more pressure that you can put on yourself to perform. The higher the standards that you create for yourself, the more, you know, it's that pressure just enough to keep you driven and on time and scheduled and focused, with not so much pressure that you fail and then you get yourself overwhelmed. And number seven was what?
Number seven would be to assess my goals at night, and basically to review these and see how I did.
Gotcha. And then plan the next day on top of that.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
With number seven, assess how the day went and then plan for the next day.
Okay, so let's just go through those one by one. And then so generally, how well did you think you did last week?
I think I did very well. I only met about three of the seven. The other four, I was close, way closer than I ever have been.
Right.
And the ones I met consistently was eating six meals a day, every day.
That's a good one to do.
Yeah, and then review my goals at night. I always did that. And also train at specific times. So this week, I got myself finally training regularly and eating the six meals a day.
Okay, a couple things. Well, those are very important things. That's a massive step forward. Probably the biggest thing, just having this outline, you probably became more conscious of the bodybuilder that you wanted to be. For me personally, and again, I'm going to open this up so everybody benefits of it, is that one thing that I learned from my bodybuilding career, because I started at 2017. I was just kind of a regular guy doing my thing. And
yeah, that's actually pretty amazing to start at that age. You know, I even started at 19.
I tell that to people because they kind of think when they're 25 years old or so, I mean, life is pretty much over. You should have everything that you're going to do down. They kind of put that pressure on themselves. They also think about if they have certain habits that they have that are bad ones or habits that they don't have. Can can a person really change? Because I did not have the discipline. I mean, I worked hard, I did certain things, I was a regular guy, but to take something on at 27, become structured and focused and have it build in intensity over the years where you can be known all throughout the world for what you did, yeah, that is something that doesn't happen normally because people, you know, they start not believing anymore that they can change. And one other dimension to that story is I probably signed up for a gym membership. You know, back in those days, you had to pay a good chunk of money, like $300, $500 to join the gym, plus a monthly fee, or however they did that. And I did that from, I would say, 19 to 27. I probably did that three times or so, and I was the guy who signed up and quit after about 3 weeks. I was just a regular type of guy. So just a set of circumstances at 27, and I built the discipline, the strategies, I mean, one bite at a time, so to speak, and it became ingrained in my habits. And so what I'm saying to you is that you're thinking more like a bodybuilder now, especially waking up and thinking about what you have to do today in this particular area of your life. And then at the end of the day, you know, having to sit down and it's either a good day or a bad day, looking back and assessing yourself and planning the night before, eating those meals. My point is that all of us in our whole lives, we can change any aspect of our life. What it does is we have to focus on it. There's things that we say we want in life and we tell ourselves, you know what, we really don't want that, because if we did, we would think about it more. We would read about it more. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and the more you think about something, even if you write it down. Now, this, for everyone listening, if you know, Dean wants to finally make a dream of his come true and enter a bodybuilding contest. Is it your first contest, Dean?
It's my second. My first one was 13 years ago.
Okay, so there's been
a gap. I'm 38 right now.
Right, and he really wants to do this for himself. He had a little self-doubt that he can get himself and the organizational, become that machine to do all these disciplines. So this is huge for Dean. And you can do anything you want to do. It's just that if you do something like just write it down. Write it down. If you were to write it down 20 times throughout the day, how can you not think about it? And when you start thinking about it, whether it's listening to a archived version of Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding Talk Radio Show or it's searching the internet, or it's I got to make sure that I'm going to wash all my workout clothes for the whole week in this little 15-minute window I have, because when my workout clothes are all ready, I'm more likely to work out. What I'm saying, there's so many different details. The more and more you think about anything in your life, those results will flow. Sometimes they don't happen as quickly as we want, but as Dean recognized, he may have only consistently hit 3 out of his 7 things, but it isn't like he wasn't conscious of all the other things. It wasn't that he got closer than ever to those things. The thing is, he's getting closer and closer and closer. When you assess your day at the end of the day, it was a good day when you can come closer to all 7 of them. It was a bad day when you didn't do any of them. But the thing is you're thinking about them. You're applying pain. You're applying pressure. You're actually, you know, rejoicing, being happy, you know, celebrating when you get closer to those 7. It's all a consciousness. I can't tell you how many things in my life, you know, since, you know, what I learned from this bodybuilding and discipline process is how you can apply to other things in your life. I don't know if it's you want to have a promotion at your job, and that's really, really important to you. I mean, what if you thought about that 20 times a day, different strategies? You have to write a new one down. You have to think about it 20 times a day, even on the weekends. You can't tell me 6 months later, just by putting that thought, making yourself think about it, let alone do things, 6 months later you will be so much closer to that promotion. Now, I'm not saying you'll always get it. I'm not saying things will happen as quickly as you always want them to, but I'll tell you this, that amount of focus alone will get you closer to your goal. So now, so you have the 6 ones, you ate, you did out of the 7, you ate consistently, you always worked out at a certain time, and you always assessed your day, assessed your progress. Did you plan your next day too? Did you use that? Was that all the same process for you?
Yeah, that would all that would all be the same process. Yeah.
All right. And so that's all great.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Because remember, this was for a guy who had 0 out of 7. You know, I mean, I would eat, but I would only
eat three to five
times a day.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Well, Gene, actually, it wasn't. You were worse than a guy who went 0 for 7. You know, a guy who goes 0 for 7 is heads and shoulders away from ahead of the average person, because the average person doesn't even take the time to figure out what the 7 steps to success will be. You see what I'm saying? You never really organized those in their mind. So you're even if you were to go 0 for 7, you're ahead of where you were before. So think about that too.
Yeah. And again, even though I didn't get 7 for 7, I just this week alone, I noticed my body. The muscles filled up. I felt better because I trained 4 times this week and split the body up into 4 days. And I already see the results after 1 week, you know, eating 6 times a day. And I am counting my protein. I am getting a good amount of protein, too. And I'm counting my calories in addition to this, just taking 6 meals. So that was just a complete major step for me.
I'm just going to clear something out. I could let you go on that euphoria of how your body changed so much in a week. The reason why I'm not going to let you continue on with that belief is because of something that happens. Again, if you're listening to the show out to live, you may have experienced this. It's called when people get overwhelmed and they think they're plateauing. You hear that term all the time in muscle magazines. You hear it all the time on the message boards. And plateauing is just a figment of your imagination. If you're eating your 6 meals a day, if you're training hard in the gym, hell, if you're just showing up in the gym, there's no way you're plateauing. It just does not work that way. How can you move weight around and eat all the time and think that even to some slight degree you're not moving forward? There's no such thing as plateauing. The thing, though, is that you have these temporary visual differences. Now, I'm not even sure, Dean, you know, I would say 2 things. One, eating for the first time 6 meals a day, it's not that you gained so much muscle or got harder. You were like a tire that was flat. You weren't feeding yourself properly, and now you start feeding yourself, and now it's just kind of filling out. You know, so it isn't that you gained so much muscle. It's just that you're getting it back to where it should be by just putting air in your tire. The reason why I don't want you to think, wow, I made so many gains this past week, because what happens after 3 weeks eating 6 meals a day, doing the same thing, you're going to say, oh, my God, my progress has stopped. You see what I'm saying? You were in a really deficient state, and here's the other thing. We say, it's been said that we think we're so logical in all the decisions and observations, our perspective in life, that we're doing it based on logic. We see certain things. How it really works is we make most of our decisions based on emotion. We make an emotional decision. We like her. Okay, we come to that quick emotional decision, and then what we do is we find evidence to support that first initial emotional decision. Like, for example, oh, wow, I like that girl. I don't know, maybe she's really attractive, right? You like her. Well, she could show how materialistic she is. I mean, she could cuss and burp. I don't know, whatever, right? If you emotionally like her, you will start making excuses for her. And you will see her bad things. You'll swing them to good things because you're not making a logical decision like you think. It's really based on emotion. Right now, you're at a high. You're getting control. You're focusing. You're thinking about it. You're getting one step closer to doing your first competition in 13 years. You're on an emotional high. And when you look in the mirror right now, you're seeing massive improvements. Are they happening? You know, who knows? The reason why I want you to understand that is because when you're doing great, that's the easiest time to train hard and eat right, okay? I don't need to pump you up and say, you're feeling great. What I do need to prepare you for is what happens most of the time is when you walk past the mirror and you just look okay, or you look the same, or you think, well, I don't look very good. It's those times that crush people. It's those times that make you not eat your meal. Why is this even paying off? It's those times when you stop going to the gym and you miss a couple days, okay? So remember that. And also, I'm sure you have these experiences from time to time, Dean, is when maybe it's first thing in the morning, you're thinking you're just looking ripped. Because maybe it's just the absence of some body fluid or whatever making you look tighter. Maybe it's a good mirror that you're walking by. Well,
right.
Then it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe taking a shower, you walk past the mirror and you go, God, I don't look very good at all. And it's just like five hours later. Do you think your body really changed that much in 5 hours?
No, absolutely not.
But you've been through those emotional swings, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And
right.
I think we all have.
Point
that out. Yeah, because, you know, it's very easy for me to start talking to you, and here we go. We set, you know, the 7 goals for the day, and I stick to it for a week. I get excited. But to maintain that state of mind over a duration of time and stay consistent is really where you know, the men and the boys are separated.
Oh, that is an excellent point. That's an excellent point. Earlier in my life, I worked in retail management. I was a hardworking, worked in a store type of thing, worked my way up the ladder. And I remember I was like the youngest manager for this chain at that time. But this is when I was an assistant manager. And I was with, you know, my manager, and we were good buddies, and we worked a lot of hours together, built a good relationship. And we spent a lot of time talking and strategizing, and a lot of times just being good friends talking. And I said to him, I wasn't easy because I felt I always had to be working. And I said to this guy, my manager, I said, you know, God, we get paid well. We have these benefits and things like this and this job and stability. And I said to him, I go, God, I feel so bad. It seems like we talk all the time, you know. We're not really doing anything. And he told me, he said, you know what? Our job in management is not to do things. We have people to do that. Your job as a manager, you get paid for your durability, meaning that you're strong when times are tough. You keep going things when things are average. You keep the momentum going when times are good. It's not what you do in a day. It's not what you do in a week. It's what you do in the course of 3 months or 6 months in a year. That's your job as the manager of people. You're paid for your durability. And something that you should need to remember with your training is like,
No, I said that's a great way of putting it.
Yeah, and right now it's like, come on, a week, a day of training, big deal. A week of this, big deal. It is a big deal in and of itself.
Right.
But if you were to do that for a week and stop for 3 weeks and another week and stop for 3 weeks, you know, that's not going to mean anything. Number one, your body isn't going to change the way you want it to be. And number two, you're not going to feel like you're winning. You're going to feel like you're inconsistent, and nobody can be happy when they're inconsistent. So your job
right.
as the manager of your body, the manager of your life, is to be mentally durable. Because how many of us have had bad times? You know, think about a bad time in your life, and you thought, because you could put yourself back in that state, you said, wow, how am I ever going to get through this? Well, you look back on it now, and it wasn't really that big of a deal, and sure may have been painful, but you got through it. The good times you had, they were euphoric, and you wish they could last forever, but they didn't. You just appreciate them for what they were. And then that whole gob of time, it's neither really good or really bad, that time in between. It's durability of your life that's going to help you follow through with things when you really don't want to. It's going to help you you know, last another day and be training, you know, 6 months from now, and get closer and closer to looking good, and then put it on the back burner. And because you're on autopilot and you just execute, maybe not all 7 for 7, but, you know, you're at 4 or 5 every day, no matter what, and most of the time you're at 6 for 7. I mean, that's a lifestyle that you want, because when we can put this whole bodybuilding training on autopilot, you don't have to, you know, fight yourself to get up in the bed in the morning. You just don't know what a day would be like if you didn't go to the gym in the morning or whenever it is, or waking up. And the more
right.
things you can put on these disciplines, and this is in every area of your life, the more things you can do like this that you can put on autopilot, the more, like the tortoise and the hare type of story, the more you'll slowly but surely get ahead. All
right,
so let's
right.
talk about, let's break some things down. So getting up at 6 a.m., what was your challenge there?
The challenge there was I was just tired, and basically I would have to sleep. It came from the night before, just not sleeping on time the night before. So I wouldn't go.
What
to
were
sleep
you doing when
or...
you were up later? What were you doing?
I'm sorry.
What were you doing doing anything important when you were up later at night?
You know what? Usually no. Usually just sitting down and not wanting to go to sleep. Just as simple as that.
Right.
You know, I come home late. I have a tight work schedule, and I'm like, oh, I just want to sit down and be able to just relax and have no pressure and be able to watch TV or just do nothing.
Unwind, just veg out for a while.
Right, right. But, you know, then again, as much as nice as it may be to veg, it's going to hurt me because I'm now, it's creeping into my sleep time, which then.
Now, when you, I'll tell you a couple things about sleep. And there's one thing back in 1998 when I had one of the first, probably the first training journal that was on the internet. I would document my life and my patterns as I was preparing for that.
I was actually reading it, so I know what you're talking about.
Okay. And I would mention things like sleep. It's funny is that being a drug-free bodybuilder with the pictures and everything, you would think that that would cause the most bit of, oh my God, what that ruffled the most stuff, so that challenged my credibility in a lot of people's eyes. Nope. You know what caused the most emails that I got that really drove the most emotion from most people around the world? How could I sleep 4 and 5 hours a night? That was the biggest thing that challenged most people. And the thing was, is that I thought, geez, with everything that I'm accomplishing, I'm writing books, I'm traveling, I'm doing this, why would that catch their attention so much, and why would that cause so much of a reaction? And what I realized was, especially now, is that we are given the excuse to sleep 8 hours because that's supposed to be healthy. You know, that's supposed to be ideal. And if I'm accomplishing all these things, if I'm getting their attention and I'm only sleeping 4 and 5 hours a night and they're sleeping twice as many hours, I just figured what it did is it made a lot of people feel lazy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
They wanted a body like this or they wanted to do these type of things. And they didn't want to think that it was them, that they were lazy. And I'm not saying that they're lazy because I was just really driven. I had a reason to get up in the morning. All right? And think about that, Dean.
Yeah.
Think about back in the day when you had that new girlfriend, right? That partner that you just started dating and you just couldn't wait to see her. I mean, how many hours in those first couple of weeks did you sleep then?
Oh, God, I remember days when I was with my girlfriend, and I had days where we slept maybe 2 hours in the night.
Oh, yeah, and you were dragging at work the next day. You got to work and everything like that. And that went on for a couple of weeks. You were a walking zombie. The reason why you had a reason to get up in the morning, that passion, that new love, that excitement, you said forego the sleep, right? I don't remember any of you guys who are out there who know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm sure you didn't tell your girlfriend, hey, you know, go home right now. I need my 8 hours sleep.
Oh, right. Exactly.
You know,
I mean,
you had a reason to stay up. When life was exciting enough for you, you could forego the sleep. You could get up on time. And, look, that was a very exciting time for me when I was sleeping 4 and 5 hours a night. And I've had pockets of time since then. But there was a reason for me to sleep that much and to not sleep as much. And I would make up for it on the weekends or whatever. What I'm saying to you, Dean, is that when you create a life that is so exciting, look, if this challenges you a little or challenges anyone who's listening to the show live or in a podcasted version, you know, I'm telling you that, what's he saying, my life isn't exciting enough? No, I need 9 hours sleep, whatever. Look, I'm right there with you. There's been times in my life, in the last 5 years since I retired from competitive bodybuilding, I didn't stack my day with all these exciting things. Bodybuilding and everything that I did there was very exciting for me. There was a gap in time where I didn't have my plate full. And the things that I had my life full with weren't so exciting to keep me up late at night or get up early in the morning. Okay, I had to look for things that excited me so much. Just like that first love and that passion, or just like it was in bodybuilding, I could. And if I was doing things and it wasn't that type, I could go on and find more. And it's not such an easy process. People don't walk around the most exciting lives in the world a lot of times. And the reason why is, look, life, you can do anything. You can travel, you can create, you can do anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody knows that. But the thing is you try a couple things, you fail. Hey, how about this? How about this bodybuilding? How about if I create websites? Whatever it is, and that doesn't do it for you, well, keep on looking for something else. Keep on looking for something else that can give you that passion, that new love or whatever. And so
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I was going to say, see, this is something I have thought about for years because I like to also study real peak performers and high achievers. And I think most of them, they have a trait in common is that they only sleep like 4 hours a day. It's very common for these big CEOs from Donald Trump to Steve Jobs and Thomas Edison. These people were sleeping only a few hours a day. And the best explanation I got, and that makes the most sense, is simply what you said. And that is there was such a strong motivation for them to be awake and doing what they loved, that subconsciously.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's also, how you structure it, too. See, the thing is, it's like these disciplines that we talk about, that we lined out for you, Dean, is that when they're so stacked, and then, we're starting off with 7. I can tell you this, here in like 3 or 4 weeks, you're going to be going 7 for 7 all the time, and we're going to create a few more, for you to add in. And the thing is, with this type of momentum, 6 months of it, a whole year of doing this, you're going to become a machine. But it's like you have to schedule the day. For example, like I'll go back to those days that I said I worked as that manager, right? Well, at that time, I started writing for the Muscle magazines. I was always preparing for shows. I did quite a few more shows, maybe at least 3 or 4 a year. Very ambitious traveling, too. I had photo shoots. At times, I would go to the contest, a business network. There was a lot. I was doing a lot with this, and I was so driven and passionate about it. Well, if I worked a 9-hour day at a stressful type of job managing different people and sales reps and customers and things like that. Well, my only chance to do this was very early in the morning to write, okay, and then when I got home. Well, think about that's what started me training first thing in the morning, because what I realized is that, after I give all my energy to the man, so to speak, for my salary, and I use all that energy, well, you'll have less energy to use for you. Right, to do all those things that are going to advance you ahead, to write the articles for Iron Man, or to write a little letter. There wasn't quite so many emails. I would go to a magazine and I would, every single company or every single contact, I would write a letter to introduce myself and send postcards or seal some envelopes and mail them or whatever back in that day. Those type of things, those personal. Well, I would have to do those outside of my 9-10 hours of working, and it was just very early in the morning or very late at night, and I have to have the energy. Well, if I'm competing for shows too, I it couldn't be like, okay, just burn yourself out, give your energy to the man, and then at 6 o'clock at night after work, how much energy do I have? That's why I switched what I'm most passionate about, what's most important to me to propel my life to the point it is now, is I switched my workouts to the morning to give my best energy to me. So that was very, very important to me. So it's not only, Dean, about really being passionate about what you do. You also have to allocate your energy accordingly. So think about that. You will last your whole work session. I mean, because if somebody's paying you, you being the type of person you are, you're going to fulfill your commitment. We feel our commitment to other people more than we will ourselves. So we'll feel that commitment, even though we're tired, we'll finish that work shift. But when it comes to you working out or working out with the right intensity, sometimes that's when we let ourselves down and we use the excuse, well, I'm tired, I did a whole day at work. So it's finding things passionate to create that intensity for what you do, but also it's allocating your energy, managing that energy properly. If you're a writer, if you want to build a website, you're most creative in the morning. Well, you can't do that at night. You have to get up a couple hours earlier and make sure you do that. So, Dean, think about these things now, and maybe your exercise for over the next week is to how can you make this fruit, so to speak, of competing, how can you make it even more exciting? So there's no way. I mean, you made it, yeah, you're competing in a show. Yeah, you're looking great. Yeah, you like the connection in the gym. But think of a million other ways. Let's just start with 10 other ways how you can make this fruit even sweeter, all right? How can it make it so there is just no way? I don't care if you stayed up all night. To me, that's a lousy excuse. And as your coach and as your friend, I'm going to push you a little, is that I don't care how late you stayed up at night. When you had that girlfriend, you still got up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go see her or whatever, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Right.
So how can we do it so you just can't you can't lay in bed 5 more minutes when it's 6 o'clock because you got so many things you want to do. You're so excited. Now, let me just say this to everyone who this may be challenging. Hey, what's he talking about? My life is exciting. I just need that sleep. You need that sleep to be healthy. What's he talking about? That stuff is crazy. You know, look, I've had points in my life where I set some very average standards, and I filled it in with sleep too. Okay, sleep isn't a bad thing. I'm just saying you want, if you're really committed to getting more out of life, don't put yourself in a box by saying, oh, I have to have this sleep. Because what I'm telling you, if you found ways to turn up the intensity on your life, find other exciting things. If you stack the rewards of what you do, you won't need as much sleep and you'll be just fine. Or you can make it up on the weekends. How we set this all up with our training programs, which I advocate strongly, is that you work your ass off, you work your butt off, you're focused, you're dedicated during the 5 days during the week where you can let up significantly and still be way ahead on the weekends. So, you know, you have a crammed life, and you only sleep 5 hours during the week. Well, sleep a little bit more on the weekends. I was just telling this story to somebody just over the last couple of days. Is about to watch a movie, right? A DVD.
Right.
And I was reminiscing about those days that I talked to you when I was just on the scene with my career, having the job and creating everything where I created with my bodybuilding career. It was just at the beginning. I only had those 5 hours sleep. The big joke was, I'd be asleep 30 seconds after I sat down to watch a movie. I mean, I would work myself so hard. I was so passionate, so driven. If I sat down for more than 30 seconds, the big I would wake up, I don't know, 10 minutes later looking at everybody laughing at me because I was always so dead tired, you know. When I sat down and gave myself that break, all right, the point is, when I look back at those times, Dean, I tell you, those were the best times of my life. You know, you always hear about that. The satisfaction is in the struggle. And you think, what are you talking about? I'm struggling too much. I have too much stress. Life isn't working out for me. Well, here's the deal is, the struggle in life, when it becomes overwhelming and it's too challenging for you, is you don't have you don't have a plan. You're not executing a plan. You haven't listed your 7 things to do to get you from where you're at in your life right now to the next level. So you're not executing 7 things every day. You don't have that plan. You're not going 0 for 7. You don't even have 7 things planned. Go ahead. What were you going to say, Dean?
Oh, I was going to say, the first thing that occurred to me when you said people were complaining about this struggle, how they struggled too much, I would think the first thing that came to my mind was that is there's too much unfocused struggle there.
Right.
Because
and that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what my point is. It will be somewhat stressful if you create 7, and this is for everyone out there, it will be stressful to create 7 standards for yourself. And you know what I'm talking about, Dean. Those mornings when you looked at that clock and you set on your standard to get up at 6 a.m. and you didn't. You were laying there feeling, oh, I have this stress, and you're feeling like you're letting yourself down. Am I right?
Oh, yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's a self-imposed pressure that you put on yourself that you can just put aside and not deal with and make your life easier. The quality of your life, okay, this goes far beyond your physique and your bodybuilding and training efforts. The quality of your life will be determined by how much stress, how many standards, how high the standards you can put on yourself and joyfully and excitedly and calmly and comfortably the stress you take on, the amount of stress you can take on and deal with properly, that will determine the quality of your life. So, you know, if these 7 for 7, if you can handle them, you don't mind that sometimes when you fail that you put a lot of stress. Some people, they'll just not put any, they don't want to set expectations on themselves because they don't want to go through the stress. Because I'll tell you this, Dean, I know it didn't feel good when it was 6:10 and you didn't get up and you felt like you were letting yourself down. You didn't even want to sleep anymore, but you didn't want to get up either. I know that feeling, okay?
Oh, yes.
All right? It would be a lot better not to have that stress. But let me just tell you this. You know what the greatest feeling in the world is? When you bust butt for 5 days, you go 7 for 7, give yourself a mental high five that you had a great week. And it's Saturday morning, and you can just sleep until 8 and whatever. That's when you have great sleep. That's when you reward yourself. You see what I'm saying?
What? Yes. You feel like you so deserve it. Things feel so much better when you feel like this is well deserved.
Right.
It's inescapable. It's just a natural product of the way the mind is structured. You know, okay, we're
right.
Religious
you
or
these,
whatever.
You ever hear these slacker people? People who, you know, I'm not necessarily judging them, but they can't figure out how
you can.
To
that's
their
okay.
Life
it's
work
not healthy
them.
To be a slacker.
No, the thing about it though,
like
is just that I've been there. I've been there, and I don't want to disconnect from the audience being that I'm this machine that has never been in their shoes, okay? And so that's basically what I'm saying is that when they're going, well, I deserve to buy this little gift for myself, or I deserve the greatest thing in life. I deserve the best girlfriend in the world. I deserve people to treat me well. Now, let me ask you something. Why? What standards did you set up for yourself? What 7 for 7 is your day? And it's not about bodybuilding. It's about life. What standards do you have for yourself as a person that you deserve a great person in life? What standards did you set out for yourself, and then you execute it 7 for 7 for the day? So you can tell yourself you deserve anything. Why do you deserve to have a better body than what is in the mirror? Why? Because your mommy always told you you deserve the best in life? We deserve when we execute, okay? You deserve to sleep soundly in your bed on Saturday for a couple extra hours when you had a great 5 days of execution. You don't deserve to lay in bed for 10 minutes more at 6 o'clock in the morning because why? Because you want to make life easier for yourself, or you deserve it. So those are some of the things to think about. Just remember that point. The more stress, and let's not even call it stress, the more standards, okay, the more excitement, the words you use are really important. Stress and excitement are the same thing. When I talk about me falling asleep the moment my butt hit the couch watching a movie, you know, that wasn't created by a day packed with stress. It was created with a day packed with excitement. You know what I'm saying? And that's the difference.
Yeah.
Right now, you're packing your day with excitement. And you're not going 7 for 7. You know, you're not always executing everything. But you're creating a day that's filled with excitement. And that keeps you up. It keeps you going. And when you look back at the end of your week or you look back on the end of your month, you have something to be proud of. You can look in that mirror and you did something to be proud of. That's something that we all need to remember is that, you know, self-esteem is created when we do things that impress ourselves. You know, just showing up at the gym whenever or eating whenever, sometimes eating 4 meals, sometimes 3 meals. Even if you have a great body, how about this, Dean? How many times has someone complimented you on having a great body and you went, "God, you chef, thank you." But you didn't feel like you deserved that compliment, all right?
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
Your body
yeah.
could look exactly the same, but that week you went 7 for 7. They said, "Hey, Dean, you look great." You would say, "Thank you." Because why? Same body, same compliment, because you knew you went 7 for 7 all week long, and you deserve it. This is what a life is made out of. You know, it's not your muscles. I try to emphasize that so much. This isn't about your muscles. Trust me. I've seen so many big guys with great physiques that feel like they feel worthless, you know? Visually, they should look at themselves and say, "Wow, I've got a great body."
I know some of them myself. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have girls like girls crazy about them. They're on the cover of these magazines, and I talk to them, and you don't want to know what's going on in their heads.
Yeah, well, that probably brings a whole host of issues. And I want to talk about this whole bodybuilding process and why I think that it's not a good example of life. Why it's not. People say this, if you're disciplined in the gym and you can eat right and you can make your body look good, you can be successful at anything in life. I'm going to do a whole show on why I do not believe that is true. I do not believe the disciplines in bodybuilding and training, they are not applicable to success in every area of your life. In fact, and I'll just give you a little nutshell of what I'm saying, is that's not how success in life works. Success in life and work is not when you focus totally on yourself and what you have to do every 2 hours and secluding your mindset from everybody else and work, turning it inward and being a machine and being disciplined. All those things are great, but how life works is when you incorporate other people, when you learn how to influence other people, when you give and take, because everything you want in life, you're going to get through other people, whether it's directly or indirectly. It's your influence and your persuasion skills. It's your ability to get along with people. It's to be likable. It's to get them to want to help you along and you help them along, because you can only do so much yourself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? What bodybuilding does is treat you is that you can get compliments, you can look good by just being a focused machine, just on yourself. That's the biggest thing. If you create the more tunnel vision that you create for yourself to have a great body, the more successful you'll be there. All right? That is not how life works. Life works when you can get the most people incorporated in your dream, in your movie. Okay? What would be a better film if we're talking about a movie analogy? A movie that has you as the star of the movie, right? But there's other characters that come in that add dimension, that you have, you know,
they play the supporting role.
The antagonist, and then the friend and the supporter and the drama, right? It's a life filled with a lot of other people helping you, people distracting you, you know, whatever, right? Is that a more enjoyable movie or one of those things where, like P. Diddy has on his blog, well, here I am over here, and now I'm thinking this. You see what I'm saying? One is all about you. It's only about you. What has more dimension? You need a life that creates, has a lot of other people helping you. And I know that you have a partner that you're going to do some shows with. See, that's what I'm talking about. It's not about you. You're helping other people. For those of you who are struggling with health and fitness in your life, that is one thing that I did that really helped me. It wasn't all about me. I took what I learned and I would write it. I have an internet website, you know, this radio talk show. When you can do it and make it more than just about you, you'll become better. You'll become the example, the mentor, the teacher, and you'll live up to higher standards, because if you're the authority, you have to live up to the standards. And it just has more meaning. It can enrich the whole experience. So I want you to think about how you can enrich this whole experience. I talked about ways, and I'll kind of, is that, okay, I have to write this article about what I'm learning, all right? And this article is going to get published in the magazine, and my picture is going to be there, and then I'm going to get phone calls, and I'm going to create a DVD, and I'm going to sell DVDs, and that's going to get me some cash, and I'm going to connect, okay? And then I'm going to do a photo shoot, I'm going to travel here, I'm going to get some guest appearances because of it, and who knows what, I'm going to get an endorsement contract or whatever. Those are my things, the way that I sweetened it. It wasn't just about the muscles and the and losing the body fat. I was going to get a lot more out of it. I was going to create. I was going to become an authority. I was going to earn money. I was going to make a career out of it. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I made it
right.
so much with so much more dimension than just training and eating and looking big and looking lean.
Oh, yeah, and like I'll admit, it's funny you should even mention this, because something I've had to work out of my system, and it's funny that you'd even just state explicitly what the concept is or the issue. I started out with bodybuilding with I used to romanticize the concept of the lone wolf. I'm here by myself. I'm training. I don't need anybody. And It's literally like your immature mentality of growing up. You think it's a, you know, it's kind of a badass quality to be totally all alone. And then I think what you learn is all along you wanted independence and individuality. And I think as an adult and a more mature, you can have a more mature version of individuality and independence. Of course, that's what you want to be, but no need to isolate yourself or play the role of the lone wolf.
Well, let me tell you this, okay, and let me, through my experience dealing with people, personal development, I would say something happened to you, Dean. How is your childhood growing up? What was your life like when you were like 8 years old?
Oh, I was always the, what's it called? The quiet kid who used to keep to himself. I wasn't a very social type of person.
And how did that develop? I mean, were you an outcast maybe with the kids? Was dad around? What was your relationship with your mom?
Oh, see, my family was around, but they didn't, I don't think they really knew how to express their affection
right.
for me. Okay, they give tremendously, okay? To this day, I have to push them away because they give too much. But I don't think, or just for me, it just wasn't the type of affection that worked for me. And, you know, they're from the old country. We came from overseas. I grew up here. I think there's a little bit of a disconnect in how I was being developed in this society and their mentality. So basically, and then in school, I just was never the in crowd, and I always used to basically isolate myself. Now that's totally changed.
Well, let me tell you a couple things here, Dean. From what I know about people, this may or may not apply for you. This also applies to a lot of people who are drawn to me because of their same passion for health and fitness and bodybuilding. Just some things for you to think about. We can talk about this more next week as we wind down the last few minutes here. And what normally happens is when you're a kid, that's when a lot of your habits and your mindset develop. You try to make sense of the world. You know, you're just a seven-year-old kid and you're interpreting if your mom and dad are there or not. I mean, and you can hear it if you listen to this later on a podcast version, how you explain the situation. What happened is that, you know, as a 38-year-old man, you can now look back and say, my parents came from the old country. They did the best job they could, okay? And you can kind of release any maybe feelings that were somewhat negative about how they raised you as a child. At 38, you have that logical mind to go back and do that. Unfortunately, they say like from 0 to 7 years old, 0 through 8 years, that's our imprint age. That's when that we make the most, in our mind, sense of the world, what it means to us. What happens a lot of times I found with people who really focus on the bodybuilding training and you know, obviously I have a lot of personal knowledge is somewhere along the line, as a kid, your trust is broken. Your trust is broken in people. Maybe some of the connections that you had with trusted people as a kid, they didn't come through to the level that you felt that they should. And that's basically what you said. And you had to learn how to do this all by yourself. That connection, you have to find ways that you stay to yourself, you envision being the lone wolf who is self-sufficient. It's very common. Most people's challenges later on in life come from where somewhere in their life the trust was broken earlier in their life, and they don't know, they don't learn how to deal with people, okay? They don't develop those skills. You know, you see great salespeople or great politicians or whatever who get people to do what they want them to do. They do just the opposite. They don't set themselves aside and then learn how to just be self-sufficient. What they do is they learn how to connect more with people. And those are the great leaders and the great business people to these days. Whether they're some type of speaker. And you know what, Dean, I want to finish this with you. We're coming down the last 50 seconds here. For those who are listening to the show live, you can hear how I'm going to finish this all with Dean, because I do want to take the time with him even past the hour we spend on the show. So we're going to be going off the air in about 30 seconds. If you want to continue listening to this, you can go to skiplacour.com, you can go to Blog Talk Radio, and you can listen to the rest of this session with Dean by downloading the MP3. So like I said, here in the next 15 seconds or so, we'll go off the air, so you'll have to listen to this on the downloaded version. Okay, so Dean, now getting back to you, or not necessarily to you, I can tell you this has, you know, been my experience, is that they say that most people's challenges later in life is where somewhere as a kid you try to make sense out of things. You know, you see this a lot of times with women who do not have good relationships with their father, like he wasn't around, you know, enough. He was always busy working. And you talked about, you know, it's interesting, you know, you talked about how you like to come home, and then you like to spend a couple hours just vegging out, watching TV. You don't want to deal with people or things. That's your way of relaxing. That's a very common thing that men do. When we get home from slaying the dragons all day long, we just want to veg out. Well, a lot of times, let's say for a girl, for example, she's 6 years old, and she loves her dad, and her dad's gone all the time. You know, from by the time she wakes up, he's gone to work all during the week. And then she comes home anticipating to see her dad, and then he wants to just veg out. Well, now a 7-year-old girl might think she's being shunned by her daddy that she was looking forward to see all the time. Well, then dad sometimes, you know, he's there and he's fun because he's rested. Maybe he just waits the weekend, sometimes not even the weekend. Maybe he has so much stress. But dad, in reality, as she looks back when she's just, say, 38 years old, she realizes dad was just doing the job. I mean, he was being the man. I mean, he was slaying the dragons for his family, okay? But that's not how a 7-year-old girl saw it, okay? And those are that imprint age where she has this disconnect that in her heart it's hard to feel now, that she doesn't really, she still carries that emotion of that loss, of that disconnect, that yearning for dad. She'll have it when she's 38 years old, and she can't understand why. You see what I mean? I mean, you can understand that logic, right?
You know,
well,
I was going to tell you, that is an awesome, like, analogy, how you put that together, because now when I see myself, hey, look, I can come home. I don't want to deal with anyone or anything. And, you know, that's pretty much what my dad was going through. And it's like I totally understand his position a lot more now.
Right, and you did do that. I mean, when you listen to this later, you're going to say you did defend your dad as a 38-year-old, okay? But what happens is the 7-year-old still sees it the way that's what you're holding emotionally, because a lot of times we make emotional decisions, we have emotional traumas or issues that we know aren't logical, but we can't help, we don't feel the way we should about them. There's a disconnect between what we intellectually feel and we emotionally feel. And really, that's really what causes most of our challenges in life. You know, we know we should be happy, we know we should be thankful, but, well, what's going on in our heads? And a lot of times it's things like that you can understand. So
right,
as a kid, whether it's right or wrong, and I mean, look, it's a 7-year-old. They don't have experience. They can't say, well, dad is just working hard for me and providing my college education. Hey, that's cool. Hey, he just wants to, you know, just relax after work. He's not shunning me. Heck, there's 40-year-old women who are mad at their husbands, and they got to talk to Dr. Laura or go read the latest self-help book to understand that element of a man. Okay? Well, if a 40-year-old wife doesn't understand it, how could a 6-year-old child understand that? Does that make sense?
Yes. You know, see, something that part about coming home, vegging out, and not wanting to do anything, I do not think that is good. I do not feel good about that, and there's always a touch of guilt. And, in fact, it is something, an issue I want to overcome, because it does tend to make me isolate, especially in the evenings.
Do you live with anyone right now, Dean?
No, I'm single and I live alone.
Okay, and what you mean is you don't get out and call your buddy and go out and have a drink. You don't get out just walk around the mall and be around people, and before you know it, 1 week is stacked on another day, and besides the people at work, you haven't talked to a real human being at all.
Oh, yes, yes, I can go through there. And see, because on top of my job, I'm also working on being an artist to make a transition. So I have to spend even more time alone painting and drawing.
Right.
So
you can kind of tell I've been there before, right?
Yeah, you know, actually, saying like what I find interesting is how you made the transition from, you know, working for the man to being self-employed, you know, and at that age, that transition is a challenging one, and that's what I'm going through right now.
Well, yeah, well, there's a lot of different reasons. I'll tell you this, okay, you talk about those issues and things like that that you grew up with. Heck, I had my challenges, too, growing up. When I was 18 years old, I was out on my own. I mean, no one gave me a penny since I was 18 years old. I mean, I was working hard.
Really awesome.
From a young age. I was getting robbed at gunpoint a couple times at the places that I worked, all before the age of 19. All right.
Oh my God.
It was a school of hard knocks. I look back and I would never want that for, you know, any 19-year-old, but I didn't know any difference. And you know what? It wasn't that bad, right? That's how we I was working 50 hours a week. I had a responsibility. Here's the thing is, I didn't have any training how to deal with people. You know, who's gonna you know, do they send you to management classes? I mean, all the books that I share with you that obviously now it's, you know, I don't know, almost, you know, 25 years later, I didn't have any of this experience. I didn't understand people yet. My job was to manage people. My whole adult life from 19, you know, from 18 to 27 was dealing with people. Who gave me the skills on how to deal with people? I thought about it on the fly. Sure, there were some management classes or whatever, but, you know, you have a management class every 6 months or whatever about managing people. What I'm saying is that I didn't have the skills to manage people. The reason why I was promoted, why I always went up the rank, because there wasn't a harder worker than me around, all right? Nobody worked harder than me, and so just by efficiency, because I can execute, I would get promoted. I would say, looking back, my people handling skills, understanding different personalities, all right, and understanding why some people aren't motivated to work and you have to deal with them differently, how am I going to learn that as a 19-year-old? All right. I made that transition at 27. And again, for those of you who are listening to the show and you're all focused on bodybuilding and you've got this lone wolf mentality, all right, I'm going to say something that, you know, might disrupt, maybe it would make you think about what you're going for with bodybuilding. But, you know, and it says, no, Skip, come on, man. Don't mess this up for me. I want to be just like you. I want to be a 6-time national champion. I want to be focused and dedicated in the machine, okay? Well, look, I'm telling you on the other side what it is you may or may not be chasing. It's just something to think about, because it's not about the muscles. It's not about a trophy. You just talked about the champions that you know with these great physiques that are so admired and they're not happy, okay? What they were chasing obviously didn't make them happy. So this may make you take another look at everything that you're doing. But what I'm saying is, so from 19 to 27, even though I was promoted, I was making good money, good security, especially for my age. My job was managing people, and I wasn't really all that good at it. I couldn't identify with slackers, you know what I mean, or liars, you know what I mean. I got out of that not because I got out of it because I just didn't like it. And I knew I had to do something I liked to do. See, if I had a big brother or a dad who would coach me through life, if I had a radio show like this to listen to, then I would take the time to call in and get some free coaching. You know, he would have said, Skip, all right, running away to bodybuilding and becoming being that lone wolf and being so secluded may make you feel good in the short term, may make you have big muscles, may give you some trophies and admiration from unknown faces around the world who really don't know you from Adam. They just look at a website and a picture in a magazine. Instead of going to that type of seclusion mode, only depending on yourself, I would say that what you need to do is learn how to more effectively deal with people. Because every true happiness and fulfillment in your life is going to come by learning how to deal with certain people, understanding certain people. That's why I'm so passionate about manformation, because it's my manformation. It's my transforming into a man by learning how to deal with people and get everything I want in life by controlling, knowing what I want, controlling the frame of my relationships with people, and influencing them, persuading them, hey, this is a good plan. Help me along. The stuff that somebody should have taught me when I was 19, so I didn't want to go into seclusion. See, everybody, we start off in life knowing what you want. You know, what do you want for your life? We start off with big dreams, but, you know, when we fail and we don't know how to help get, because, again, everything you want in life, you're going to get through other people, whether it's directly or indirectly. And if that's love and commitment or a good deal on a car or a big house on the hill or more money or a promotion or someone to invest in your idea, you're going to have people skills, all right? You may have not have learned them when you were secluding yourself, Dean, as a kid, okay?
Right.
And you get, and then it's years and years of learning, becoming more efficient of being, putting a Band-Aid on the situation by managing your state, learning how to be happy by being secluded, all right?
Uh-huh.
In the long run, you know, your dad should have pulled you aside, and you guys should have done stuff around people to help you become that chameleon and understanding people and dealing with people, all right?
Yeah.
So does that make sense? And so what happens is when we don't know how to get people on our team –
Yeah, it's almost like I can't believe we even the conversation has even gone to this area, because this is so crucial, and this too will actually help me in bodybuilding, because I will feel better in general. The better I feel, the more likely I am to stick to my goals too.
Right. You know, like I said, I got some really big things going on. I'm working with a New York City media company, where obviously fitness to the general public is something that you know, I have that. Obvious credentials for, but one thing about it, whether it's business coaching, life coaching, you know, health and fitness coaching, you know what, all your problems are personal problems. When people call up with business questions, it's not about the business. I mean, come on, do this, do that. You got money problems? It's not about money. You know, you can't go to the gym. It doesn't matter if you do 8 reps or 6 reps or 10 reps a lot of times. Sure, I can always help you use the MaxFatigue training principles and get there in the shortest period of time. But, you know, you're not even going to the gym. You're not even doing the things that you want to do, people out there, you know. It's not about the strategy, okay. It's about you're not executing. All the problems that you have all come down to personal problems. So when you say to me, Dean, when you're coming, well, wow, this is going to help me in all areas of, it's going to really indirectly help me in my bodybuilding, everything in life that you want, that you're not getting, comes down to getting your mind and your personal life organized. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely, yes. It's. I think it comes down to, I don't know if there's another way of calling it your character. Not that I want to complicate the situation, but yes, I totally understand what you're saying and agree completely.
Yeah, you know what the thing though it's just what you know. Tony Robbins says everything we do, we work. It either brings us pleasure or pain. We work towards pleasure and we avoid pain. And that sounds like such a simple complex. The human brain, the human mind, and the emotions that we go through and how they're developed are far more complicated than that. Because, like I said, I mean, it's well documented that I was probably one of the most disciplined, most gladiator-like, Spartan-like bodybuilders ever, right? You've heard that before. I would not miss a meal.
In fact, I dieted
for months.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was going to tell you, my friend Amir, who met your friend,
right?
Was it Tony, your friend?
Yes.
Yeah, he met Amir in Vegas, and he was telling Amir what you went through. It was quite a bit.
Right.
But
right.
Anyway.
And it's interesting is that, you know, I wonder if I heard everything that I went through through Tony's eyes, because I'm sure when I was going through all that, if I saw it as so tough, and that's exactly my point. He's probably saying, boy, the stuff that he did with his life and the sacrifices and the pain that he went through, forget about the physical pain and the dieting and the deprivation, what he did towards his dream. You got to understand something. Well, Skip, you just said that Tony Robbins says we go everything, either we go towards pleasure and we do to avoid pain. It sounds like you create a lot of pain in your life. Well, see, that's why I'm saying how the brain is so, it's a lot more complicated than that. Do you know that becoming that Spartan, that warrior, that lone wolf that you talked about, that person who didn't have to know how to deal with people the most effectively, the person who had these strict moral values and these strict structured discipline that he couldn't relate to other people who were slackers or this or that, right? Well, even though I was hungry all the time and in a bad mood and I dieted for 8 months for 10 straight years and I did it all for a trophy, you know, that the pay wasn't even necessarily that good and I shifted my whole life around, that was really getting ultimate pleasure by finding that escape that you're talking about. You see what I mean? That lone wolf, that being master of my own domain, not having to worry about people. See, I think we start with all these dreams, and then the key to life is in learning how to incorporate and persuade and influence people to go along with your dream. If you're successful in getting them on your team, you'll be more successful in life. You don't know how to do that. You're going to be not successful, and it's kind of like, if you can't fix your kitchen sink with your pipe wrench, right? What you're going to do is get some duct tape and seal it up that way. You see what I'm saying? And I think when you go into that seclusion and that your own lone wolf world, that's not fixing the problem. It's stopping the leak. It's making you feel good, okay? But it's not giving you the skills for ultimate pleasure in your life. And that was just a way for me, and I got really good at it. You know, for a bodybuilder, very successful, known out there, did it on my terms. I got endorsement contracts and publicity. I got a lot of love and connection with people, and I didn't have to deal with them. You know, if someone sent me an email, critical email, or why don't I lower my price on my DVD, or why don't I update my site? Well, I just didn't have to deal with anybody. I mean, I created a world where you deal with me on my terms or you don't deal with me at all, and I'm just fine with it.
Yeah.
Did that put some duct tape on the leaky pipe? Yep. But here's the thing, is the more and more years that you go through with that mentality, the less prepared you are for life. And the 5 years since, you know, I was stopped competing, I had to get those habits and I had to really rethink those. I had to make my man formation to how life really works. And here's the great thing about all the pain, the sacrifice, the life lessons that I learned and what I read and I put myself through and I did whatever it took to come up with these distinctions that I know that you're finding really helpful, Dean. It's opening a new thoughts for you that, you know, maybe you may not have the biggest muscles that went, but you're going to have a more fulfilling life. And I know that I'm planting those seeds in you right now. Get you ultimately, because what we want isn't big muscles. What we want is happiness and fulfillment. You already saw the guy on the magazine covers with the big muscles that thought those muscles were going to give him fulfillment. He's not happy. Okay,
right.
So these are the things I'm going to do for you. Is that you know, that's why I'm so passionate about man formation, because people who have followed me over from the bodybuilding and training world, what they have done is I realize that they're coming to me for the same exact reasons why I became the world's best drug-free bodybuilder. All right? Here's the deal is, whatever you're coming here for, whatever you think that trophy is going to give you, I'm on the other side of it, and I'm already here to tell you that's not necessarily going to do it.
Yeah. That's amazing to have someone like you who's gone through that already.
What makes me unique is that I'm always pushing. I'm always pushing myself to become better and better and better. I see a lot of bodybuilders who have had even less success than I have had that want to live in that little icon status. They may be 50, 60 years old, and they like to hang around 24-year-old guys that, well, you're a legend, or whatever. They stay in that world. They don't put that self-imposed pressure that I talked about, that stress, that excitement, to grow and to change and evolve. So they get stuck in that. They stay to what they know. I have this one gentleman who I know, and I guess that back in the 80s, I mean, he deals with bodybuilders who used steroids back in the day that are now 50 years old or something like that, 60 years old.
Yeah.
And the thing that he talked about, what they are going through in their lives, all right, you know, the health problems, the mental problems, that I said to him, I go, why don't they write an expose? Why don't they tell people, because these 21-year-old kids are talking about taking steroids, what's ahead of them, you know,
right.
when they're over 40 years old? And he said a couple of things. He said, number one, the magazines won't print them. They won't print them because it kind of just goes against, you know, the whole muscle and the strong thing. They don't want to, make people less enthusiastic about training.
Right. If they actually discredit,
even though the greater good, even though the greater good would help people, it's kind of like the stuff that I'm telling you right now. And for those of you who are listening on this podcasted version, my job isn't to make you less enthusiastic about training. It's about to put it in perspective. It's about to give you more fulfillment and win this whole game of life at a higher level, and just to prepare you. So, and then he said, here's the other thing, and this goes back to what the point that I was making before, is that he said, here's the other thing, Skip, is that was their identity. They took all these drugs. They went through all that pain and sacrifice. They became, for once in their life, a hero, you know, an idol and stuff like that. Now they're 45, 55 years old, and life didn't amount to much afterwards. They got all these health problems. You know, the mental problems, the depression and things that come along with those health problems, okay?
Uh-huh.
I said, life isn't, maybe bodybuilding wasn't all it was cracked up to be, but that was the shining moment in their life. And you're asking them to go back and put less value on their most shining moment in their life. They'd rather go to their grave and say that their condition, that they're doing just fine, or the reason why they died or whatever, they're having health problems, is because of some genetic thing or whatever. They don't want to discredit their only shining moment in their life. They're not going to do that for the greater good of the world. You take away my identity, I have nothing. Okay, they're not going to take away their identity from themselves, if that makes sense.
Yes, you're completely correct. That's why people will stick to an argument to the death, even if it hurts them, rather than just admit the truth, because if their identity is so attached to it. And see, part of like what you're doing right now, and is helping, is understanding this whole identity that we create for ourselves. It needs to be something that can grow with us, so that it's not like, okay, I'm 50 and there goes my, I'm not a bodybuilder anymore. I don't look like I used to, and now what? But like, even your identity has to be something rational. Like, you got to like really think it over and say, is this like a proper form of identity, literally?
And that's a good point. At the same time, we don't have necessarily an awareness. We just do the best we can at the time. I think probably, what I don't want people out there to do, Dean, and I don't want you to do this, is spend too much time thinking and trying to plan out your whole life. Is this the proper step at this particular time? Because what we need to, in life, we need to take more action, not less action. We need to think about things less, a lot of times, and just take action and make maybe wrong decisions, but become mentally flexible to make the adjustments, and don't just stick to an argument, like you said, or whatever, even if it's not getting us the results we want. So it's not about, thinking about it, because I think a lot of, with all my coaching experience dealing with people, I think people think about things too much and they don't actually do. And the thing is, guys, you look back at all the mistakes you have made maybe in the last 10 years, you came back just fine from all of them, all right? Well, what if you have the mentality that, I'm going to do this, this is the best decision that I'm making at this time, I really believe in this. If it doesn't work out, I'll come out the other end just fine, and I'll make the proper adjustments. So, getting back to the point that I'm saying is, the more that you can make this bodybuilding, the sweeter that you can make it. Add more dimension. Like I said, what made it work for me to an extent, was when it wasn't just about my body, then when I was going to use all my information to help others. So one thing that you might want to do as you're going through this is when people say, hey, you got a nice physique, or however, as you go through this process, oh, golly gee, shucks, and go back into that lone wolf mode. You know what I'm saying? That lone wolf mode.
Right.
Start going out and helping them, giving them a distinction. Some of the things that I'm sharing with you, give them your story. Because I think that me exposing my story and my thoughts and my ups and downs and pain, it's making your journey a lot easier. It's making you understand yourself a lot more. So offer that to other people too. It adds more dimension, it makes more sense, and it makes more meaning out of all this when it's just about you and the lone wolf. Here's another thing about it is, this is for everyone who's really into bodybuilding and they want to win a trophy, whether, you know, whatever it is. Think about this is that I would say 5% of the population at the very most has ever gone to a gym. So when you're in your regular life, and most of the people you probably deal with, hopefully that you deal with, you know, may not go to the gym. But there's things about them that can really help you in your life. Maybe it's a speech coach that you can trade some information. Maybe somebody has something about a hobby or an opportunity, whatever it is. You know, there's something very admirable in you because you have that discipline that most people don't have. And I know a lot of times a lot of people who bodybuild and train, they downplay it. Oh, that's no big deal. It is a big deal to them. Okay, they want your discipline. Okay, don't downplay it. What I want you guys to think about yourself is like this, and I think everyone can relate to this. You know, you have the punky young kid who's at the big corporation, all big wigs. This guy was like some protege golfer. He's not necessarily the best worker. He didn't have the best education or whatever. He may be working in the mailroom. Okay. But this kid can hit a golf ball. He's just got a great, you know, scratch golfer. And all the executives on the top just want to kiss this little guy's butt. They always want to be around him, always invite him, right? Because he can hit a golf ball. He has something that they want, and they really admire him. You know, their education, their earning power, all their authority, they're older. But it's that one thing that guy has that makes them want to be around him, all right? You can relate to that story, Dean, right? You've heard that story before, right? The guy who can miss golf ball, right? He closes the deals. I mean, he gets to hang out with the big shots because, you know, they may be great at business, but they can't hit a golf ball and they like being around him, right? This is what I want you guys to do when you have all these guys complimenting you, that CEO and everything like that. Think of yourself as that person. Oh, well, hey, is there anything I can do to help you? You know? All right. They're going to really they admire you. I know you downplay you being in great shape and you think, wow, well, I wish I was a multimillionaire like you. Well, is there anything I can do to help you with your health care? Grab cards. Think about, you know, when this contest is over or this bodybuilding career is over or whatever, you know what? That guy's going to want to help you. He admires you. Grab cards. Remember I said everything you want in life that you don't have right now, you're going to get from other people?
Yeah.
Okay? You don't think that way when you're a lone wolf. So when you're the lone wolf, Dean, and you're looking great and the CEO comes to you and you're going, golly gee, chef, it's really no big deal. Are you getting his business card? Are you finding a way? Are you opening up your brain to how this guy I can help this guy in my life and he can help me? Because he wants to help you. You just have to convince him. That lone wolf mentality, you're not going to do that. And again, I'm talking from experience now. As I take off the blinders of that focused, dedicated bodybuilder, all right, I have people all over the world, Dean, who don't just respect me for my body, but they saw the writing and the dedication. They could read between the lines and get a sense of the person who I am. These guys aren't really big muscle-bound freaks that even entered a contest, okay? But they're very successful businessmen, all right? And I can use what I know and my influence that they halfway already like me from what they know. And then when I can add dimension to their life, well, maybe there's something they can do for me. You know what I'm saying? All right?
Yeah.
I mean, this world is give and take. And you notice I'm not saying, hey, what can I do to take advantage of that guy? No, I said to him, well, how can I add value to his life? knowing that everything you want in life you're going to get indirectly or directly from other people. All right?
Oh,
do you see
yeah,
what I'm saying?
You're going to always trade. Yes.
Right.
It's about, I think,
do
about
you
trading.
Understand when you go into that mode where I'm going to be the lone wolf, I'm just going to worry about myself, I'm going to be successful on my own terms, that how ingraining that in a five-year period or whatever when you were really into bodybuilding, how you're going to have to abandon that thought process once you get out of it? You know what I'm
yeah.
saying?
Oh,
whether it's a personal
absolutely.
Relationship. Yeah. And so the thing about it, you can do them both at the same time now. When you realize what you're going to just have to do anyway to have the life you want after you get out of that lone wolf mentality. Right now, Dean, you may not have the people skills because you've been so good at being a lone wolf. Okay, I want you to listen to the Manformation show. I want you to go to the Manformation website. I want you to go to the message board. All right? I want you to become more influential, persuasive with other people, even though you think you may be doing a good job now. You see what I'm saying? I want you to kind of abandon that lone wolf mentality. Let me just tell you something. Arnold Schwarzenegger, he trust me, he didn't have a lone wolf mentality like all those other guys. All right?
You know what? You're right.
He understood that he had to get people involved in his dream. Number one, he had a dream because he was charismatic. He was funny, but he tried to be charismatic and funny and connect with people because he knew that he had to incorporate the help of other people to get him to the next level. All right? I'll use a perfect scene and think about this metaphor for life. All right, so it's, I don't know. Here's the thing about bodybuilding and Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, when I was bodybuilding, I always wanted to be the unbodybuilder, you know, like the 7-Up was the un-cola. Whatever was the stereotypical bodybuilding thing, I wanted to make sure I didn't do that. And when people idolized Arnold, I wanted to make sure I wasn't going to be idolizing Arnold, too. You know what I'm saying? Just because I wanted to be different.
I do that all the time.
Okay. Well, it was after bodybuilding, when he became governor, that really explored his life, and I saw, like, Pumping Iron for the first time that, you know, bodybuilders talk about all the time, like it's, I don't know, the greatest movie ever, right?
Yeah.
But think about this metaphor. If they're getting ready for the Olympia, all right, and what were most competitors doing? They were focused. I've got to get up on stage and pose. I want to win this contest. They were those islands. They were those lone wolves, all right? Remember? They were getting ready for the show. What was Arnold like? Arnold had a presence about him. He was thinking, what's that?
He was taunting Lou Ferrigno.
He was doing something more than that. He had the vision to look into that camera. The other people were ignoring the camera, trying to block out the camera so they can focus on winning that stupid contest, okay? Arnold knew that he had this sense that he wanted to be in movies. He already knew. So he was being he was already starting his movie career then. He was joking around and being charismatic, thinking he was thinking far beyond that contest in a few hours. He was being funny and charismatic. You know, he was friends with the movie director and everything like that. You see what I mean? He understood he had to get everybody involved in his dream and want to help him along if he was going to reach his ambitious dreams. He wasn't the lone wolf. He knew he had to get other people involved into this whole process and like him and want to help him. And he'll do stuff for them, they'll do stuff. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't just had his head down and was focused. I'm dedicated. I got a show. I'm the lone wolf. You see what I'm saying? He had a bigger purpose. Yeah. He knew he had to include people. That's probably the biggest lesson that is what made Arnold different. Is one, he had this bigger vision. Second, he incorporated the help of other people. And that kind of goes against that lone wolf, dedicated, no one's going to mess me up, I'm a machine type of attitude. So the more you can make this whole process where you understand that you can be successful in a contest just like Arnold, all right, but it can give you real-life conditioning, real-life training, dealing with other people, because that's when bodybuilding will be something that hurts you, okay, in your life, and you won't be able to transport to be successful in another life because you depend on yourself. That's not how it works in any type of relationship, whether it's business or whatever. And like I said, you know, my story is I had to take that you know, I could get away from behind my computer where I built my websites, I did all my DVDs, I sent out all my emails. Why am I doing all this? You know, my bigger purpose is being on radio and on TV. And I can't do those big, I should be working on my speaking skills and my camera presence to have that, to make my big vision. Okay, I can't be, you know, sending emails, sending out orders, and doing all these other things. I have to get people to help me, you know, pay them, do whatever, have the bigger purpose of not being the lone wolf. I know we talked about a lot of things. We kind of got sidetracked with that issue. I think that for ultimate success, not only in bodybuilding but also in life, that's something that everyone out there really should consider as they go through this process, because it's more than just muscles. What we're doing is we're going for a certain set of feelings. We want to be happy. We want to be fulfilled. And like I said, you don't want to come on the other end, those feelings that I expressed on the other end of my successful bodybuilding career. Or you don't want to be like the successful bodybuilders Dean talked about, who aren't fulfilled, aren't happy, even though they got all the muscles and the adulations and everything that you think that you're going for. So, Dean, as we wrap this up, what I want you to do this week is I want you to sweeten this pot. I want you to find a million ways, and I use that expression, but I want you to find at least 10 ways that there's no way you can sleep past 6 o'clock because you made this so exciting. Remember I said, I'm going to be in the magazines. I'm going to write articles. I'm going to create a nutritional program that I could sell. There was so many reasons on top of just building muscle and losing body fat that I got up. Okay, so that's number one. What are some additional reasons that you do this? And then I also want you to think about how you can incorporate other people into this. So this is training for life. You see what I'm saying? Whether it's that, hey, I'm going to create a business card, because so many people ask me, boy, how did I make my transformation? I'm going to have a business card where, and a website or whatever, where I said, hey, I can't really talk about it right now, we can go to, but hey, send me this email or something. I'll send you a free PDF file where I've listed my workout. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, and get their card too, because they may be a car salesman, Dean, okay? Mm-hmm. You're giving them information they want. You have this stack of cards even while you're preparing for a contest. Oh, 2 years later, and you want to get your car fixed if he's a car repairman or if he's a car salesman. Hey, I need a new car. Let me just tell you something. I was just talking to a number one salesperson just yesterday, and I was just amazed how they rip you off and how you'll never know it. This person was giving me all the sales tricks, and that's why if you're looking to buy a car or you're looking to fix your car, I'm just using that for example, and you think that you're going to get a good deal buying a car every couple, 3 years versus someone who puts together 15 deals a day or something like that, and you think you're going to walk out of there with a good deal, you're crazy. You need someone on your team. Your best friend, a friend or something, or somebody you give some information, you help him lose weight, so heck, he'll only rip you off so much or whatever, or there won't be so much profit. Do not deal with somebody you don't know, okay?
That's what it is, because with this mentality you're talking about, let's call it the anti-lone wolf mentality, you will have people on your side in different arenas, which will really make your life better.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that while you're doing all this, I'm trying to make it, you have so many other rewards besides big muscle and not very much body fat and even a trophy. You've got so many other reasons, you know, the networking, the PDF file. I got to get up and make that PDF file. So many people are asking me how I'm looking so good. One guy was the CEO of a company that I think I might want to work for someday. One guy was an auto repair deal, and I'm sick and tired of getting ripped off. Every time my car breaks down, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
One girl can cut my hair or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, you give them something, you take that card. Make this whole journey life training, where you're dealing with other people, you're getting better. You're not going to be that kid anymore, Dean, who mm-hmm. learns how to just stay away from people and learn how to make yourself happy all by yourself. This is going to be not only physical growth as you get big muscles, right? It's going to be personal growth, too. Does that make sense?
Right, of course.
All right? So your goal is to do 10 things to make this journey sweeter, that there is no way that you can stay in bed till 6:10. Be creative. Be outrageous, okay? And make as many of those things as possible, giving you life training, dealing with other people, getting them on their plan. Think of yourself as that golfer who now has access to all the CEOs. Hey, Mr. Jones, how you doing? Hey, Chipper, how you doing? Man, how's that swing going, okay? You're going to use what you have to give other people a little bit of what they have. So think outside the box, how what you can do can help other people, not just lose body fat, but how they can help you take your life to the next level too. All right? Open up your mind to all those things.
Right.
Well, boy, we went on and on and on. You caught me on a roll. We're 40 minutes past our hour here, but I hope.
Thank you very much
helpful.
For your time.
Well, you can tell
awesome.
You can tell I'm just a tad bit passionate about all this stuff, huh?
Yes. You can go on. Let me tell you, you have some serious you have a serious capacity to discuss these concepts, which is fantastic.
Well, thank you. I just hope that's helpful to you and helpful to everyone who's listening. So thank you for joining the show. Visit the skiplacore.com website at www.skiplacore.com. Have a great week, Dean, and I'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
I'm Skip LaCour, six-time national champion bodybuilder, bodybuilding and training author and magazine writer, motivational speaker, and success coach. For over 15 years, I've dedicated myself to becoming the best bodybuilder that I could be. More importantly than just that, I've committed myself to sharing with you what I've learned along my journey. I've written literally hundreds of articles that have been published in magazines around the world and have detailed my experience and knowledge. This two-disc, four-hour DVD presentation is jam-packed with information and inspiration to help you take your physique to the next level. My number one goal with Packing On Muscle Max OT Style is to help you achieve your ideal of the ultimate physique. I will help you build muscle faster, shorten your learning time, end your confusion and frustration, and help you enjoy the process at a greater level along the way. This is how I plan to help you reach your goal. During the first part of the DVD, I will take you with me through an entire week of training, every set and every repetition. I'll show you how I pack on muscle more effectively and efficiently as I demonstrate and explain the Max OT training principles and dozens of the physical, mental, and emotional tips I implement along the way. Then I'll let you watch the same week of training, bolstered by what I shared in the first part, with just the real sound and action. You'll be amazed just how much you've learned and how much you'll be inspired watching this session after part one. Cardiovascular training is an important part of the physique development process. High-intensity Max OT cardio and how it compares to other forms of cardiovascular training will be demonstrated and explained next. Many highly effective muscle-building exercises that were not scheduled during the week of training are outlined, demonstrated, and explained in the following session of this DVD presentation. To drive you to an even higher level of achievement, I've organized inspirational, action-packed, individual body part training clips set to music in the next section. You can cue the body part that you have scheduled to train before you head to the gym for an extra mental push. I've added insightful tips and advanced advice in the next section of Packing On Muscle Max OT Style. You'll get an inside look at the little things that I do that will help you produce big results. I've even added bodybuilding contest footage from my back-to-back national championship victories. You can train consistently, effectively, and efficiently in the gym, but if you don't back up what you do there with sound eating habits, your results will be severely compromised. During the final section, I will present a one-hour-long seminar on nutrition, a critical component of the bodybuilding and training process. Now, I can talk for days on this subject, but I've limited the seminar to what I believe are the most helpful nutrition tips and the most effective mental strategies and organizing principles. I've created an easy-to-surf-through menu system to guide you through the DVD. You'll discover that the more you watch Packing On Muscle Max OT Style, the more you'll absorb the extensive amount of information it contains. The more you watch it, you'll also become more motivated to get the very most out of your bodybuilding and training efforts. If you are serious about getting maximum results in the shortest period of time, order Packing On Muscle Max OT Style today. You can order this two-disc, four-hour power package today at www.skiplacour.com. I can say with absolute certainty that there's no other bodybuilding DVD like this one.